Welcome to the Athletic NBA Show, Monday through on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Basket Buds edition of the Athletic NBA Show podcast on the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Zach Harper, got Trevon Edwards, got Mo Dakhil, we've got Jade Hoy producing, and we have the end to the season, even though as we're recording this, there's still six games on this Sunday left as we're recording this. But, you know, I mean, I guess technically seven because we're halfway through that Bulls-Wolves game. So 6.5 left. But no offense to the race for the 3 seed between the Warriors and the Mavs. We'll just assume the Warriors kept the 3 seed. And if not, then all right, we got a different preview for next weekend that will come at some point this week. And then we'll just assume that the Utah Jazz didn't completely blow it against whatever's left of the Portland Trail Blazers. So they retain the 5 seed. That would put Denver in the 6. But the important stuff that happened, again, no offense to the Western Conference, but it was the East that was all up in the air. And we got a lot of stuff that happened on Sunday by inactivity.
Bruh. New York strip steak?
This is the Basketball Buds.
Braised beef short ribs? Dang!
With Zach Harper and your favorite athletic writer.
Get mad at me, bro. I'm gone.
So, I ask you guys, as Milwaukee sat just about everybody they could except for Drew Holiday for 8 seconds so he could get a $225,000 bonus for games played, which I love that. Aside from that, and aside from Philly deciding they're going to sit everybody, even though they're playing Detroit and there was no Kate Cunningham, so they still won. Aside from that, I ask you, our team's ducking the Brooklyn Nets because the Nets win. They beat the Cavs. They secure the 7th spot in the play-in tournament. They will host Cleveland on Tuesday. Mo, do you think that the Bucks were just like, Boston, you can have this 2 seed. We don't want to deal with it yet. Or was it simply about, all right, our rest is more important than trying to grab one more game for the 2 seed?
Can it be both?
I think it's both.
I think, honestly, they're like, we don't need the 2 seed. We need the rest. And also, bonus, we don't have to worry about possibly playing the Nets in the first round. And I think they get the easiest opponent in the top 6 in Chicago. So I think for them, this kind of worked out perfectly. And it's so close to them, proximity-wise, right? Like, for them, this couldn't have worked out better, I think, for the Bucks. And do we really feel like they need home court advantage in the second round of the playoffs?
No. I don't think they do. I mean, I think it's nice to have, but they proved last year in the playoffs they can go win just about anywhere. Like, I don't think they're worried about that. I think they've exercised enough of those demons. But Trey, do you think that the Bucks were just like, you guys can have Kevin Durant. We're not dealing with him again this day. Like, we'll wait to see if we can get him against us rather than just seeking him out.
I think I'm with Mo. It was a little bit of both, right? You know, I hate that Bucks fans were like, but they played back to backs. I'm like, it wasn't like, all right.
I like the Bucks fans' voice now that Trey does.
Yeah, this is. I like that too.
Like, I'm not saying, hey.
It, like, Memphis did something similar. Philly did something similar with the back to backs and everything. But yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, if you didn't and you wanted to debunk this theory, you could have, like, sat them and not had guys play back to backs. But you chose to and said, you know what? We're going to give you game 82 off. No big deal.
Yeah.
Like, not thinking, like, okay, when you look at the standings and how it can line up, that's ducking. But again, I don't see the Bucks being scared of the Brooklyn Nets. I think it is an intense first round playoff matchup if it was to happen. But now the Celtics, which they want to be the one to jump off the diving board first, which I thought was pretty interesting, you know, given they don't have Robert Williams, but they have faith in their wings and Al Horford and Marcus Smart, and they're rolling. And I think Ime is done an amazing job over there. But man, that's a tough first round matchup, especially with how Kyrie's playing. And he is available for all games. You know what I mean? And potentially the ramp up of Ben Simmons. So,
well, Trey, let me ask you this. In terms of the Celtics Nets situation, if you're the Celtics, wouldn't you rather face the Nets right now than if you end up facing them later in the playoffs?
I don't think they have a choice. Like,
They could have tanked this game today and been like, no, it's just Peyton Pritchard out there. Like they could have been like, no, but I do think there is something to, if you're going to face the Nets, face them early.
I don't know about that. I do understand it though. I think they have confidence enough to beat this team. I feel like that's where they feel and they're not going to hide, but at the end of the day, they were going to see them regardless, I feel.
Yeah.
And like you mentioned, the latter might be worse just because they get a little stronger if they can get past. You know what I mean? Like, again, we're making tons of assumptions and the playoffs is super weird because injuries happen, just techs and just different weird situations that, like, in order to win this sometimes, especially with the non-LeBron playoffs, it takes a lot of luck. So for teams to end up in those situations, obviously – I picked Milwaukee as the favorites to return, you know, to defend the East.
Mm-hmm.
But things have gotten really interesting. So with Boston, again, Kyrie can have one of those series where they can get them out in six.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there is a lot of danger there. But I ask you, like, as someone who's been in, you know, been a part of these teams, like doing playoff position and stuff, if you were going to face the Nets, would you want to face them early, or is it just like, well, shit, we got to face Kevin Durant. It doesn't matter when we face them.
Right. Well, it's there's a pro and con to it, right? Like the pro is getting them early. They probably won't have Ben Simmons back, or even if they do get Ben Simmons back, he's still going to be rusty. They're still going to have to figure out how to play with him. Also, you know, if you get him later, it's like, yo, there might be a little bit tired. They might, you know, KD might have had to have gone completely off and might be a bit worn down. Same for Kyrie and things like that. So it's a little bit of both. The problem is, you're going to have to face Kevin Durant at some point. And now the concerning thing is you're going to have to face him a little bit fresher.
Yeah.
So I think you probably hope to get him a little later. Let somebody else slay the dragon for you.
Who is this more wildly disrespectful to, Chicago or Cleveland? Because we're just assuming that, like, Cleveland's boned and we're assuming that Chicago has no chance here. And it is kind of disrespectful to both. And it's even a little disrespectful to Boston, I guess, that we're asking these questions.
Listen, Zach, there's not disrespect because Bulls fans feel the same way as you right now.
It does feel very different than the first half of the season, Trey.
as a lifelong Bulls fan, bro, it has went very sour since All-Star break.
Yeah.
And the confidence is not there. Look, they got to the playoffs and they overachieved. They peaked. And now it's just kind of like fighting to survive. So it would be more of an embarrassment for the other team to lose to us in the first round.
Right.
You know what I mean? The pressure's on the other team, not the Bulls at this point. You know what I mean? Like, they're just happy to be.
Yeah, literally no one believes. I mean, even Zach LaVine was like, yeah, I understand Bulls fans booing us. Like, we've been embarrassing lately.
I get it. Yeah, we've earned it.
Yeah, Zach's like, yeah, I can't. Yeah, I can't. You know, I'm with them. If I was the crowd, I'd boo too.
I got a question for you guys, though. Let me throw this one out there. We always do. You know, would you want to play the Nets? Who would the Nets want to play? Would they rather Boston or would they want to play Miami? Like,
I'd rather face Boston.
I think they're rolling it out.
Yeah.
I think they don't care.
I don't think they care, but like, I think you'd rather face Boston, one, because there's no Robert Williams right now, right? Like, if you're going to face them and he does come back, and I think we're speaking recklessly about, like, oh, he'll just be back 100%. Like, he had a pretty serious knee thing where they took cartilage out of his knee. Like,
this is the first time we've spoken recklessly, Zach.
Okay. I was gonna say regarding injury, but also he's gonna miss
the series. He's not gonna be there.
Yeah, no, so, but I'm saying for the second round, right? They've been projecting him for the second round.
If they get there.
Right. Well, that's the thing. But so, like, I feel like you would rather face Boston, even though Boston has played better the last 3 months. Like, Milwaukee's still been really good. But, you know, Jason Tatum, who's, like, kind of done it before, or Giannis, who, like, just really did it and did it against you, I'd probably rather face Boston. But that seems wildly disrespectful to the team that just won the 2-seed.
Well, it's funny because, like, I don't think they're going to do anything to throw a play-in game or anything like that. But I almost think the Nets would be better off playing Miami. I think they have
not a healthy Miami team.
Well, look, offensively, they have targets they could go at.
Meaningless stats Victor Oladipo put up against the Magic today? I don't know if you want to do that.
No, but
in a double-digit loss.
Should we start betting how many minutes Victor Oladipo is going to get?
I'll put the over under at 3 and I'll take the under.
Total for the playoffs.
No, no, I think you'd rather face Boston just because there's no Robert Williams III, right? Like a healthy Miami team or a Boston team still very good, but also like kind of trying to figure out this defense thing without him.
I just don't think they're able to guard Boston, right? I feel like they're going to have a harder time guarding Tatum and Brown and their offense, the way the ball's moving around and flying over all over the court. Like, I think it's tougher to contain their offense.
They are not here. They are not here to guard. They're here to put up points.
No, I know, but that's the problem, though. But, I think teams can defend them.
But Boston's not a great outside shooting team, right? So, like, if you're going to match that, if you're going to have these issues guarding that team, I'd at least rather go against a team that doesn't shoot threes as well.
I mean, I feel you. I feel you on that. I mean, but I just think, I think there's targets for them to attack with against Miami. This is all crazy because I don't think they're going to play them. No offense to Cleveland.
Again, but no, there's super offense to Cleveland. We're just writing them off and it's kind of messed up. Now, I'm not going to be the one to say, like, I believe in that, but it's kind of messed up. I'm recognizing our bias here.
But, you know, so just looking at the odds on BetMGM,
yeah,
right, Cleveland has the biggest ones at +7.5, right? Like, yeah. the next closest is San Antonio +5.5. Like, they're giving up 7.5 points.
Cut that shit out.
What?
About the Cavs. Listen, Kevin Durant had a terrible game today. Almost had a triple double. He's not having a back to back terrible game.
He also had 16 assists in his terrible game, set a career high.
That's what I'm saying. So think about it. When we talk about this.
Look, Cleveland I'm just is saying, look, if Jared Allen can come back and he can wear one of those oven mitts that Miles Turner was wearing today to protect that finger, you never know. That's all. I'm just saying, like, Cleveland's a good team. I'm not picking Miles them. Turner. I just want it on the record. I think Cleveland's a good team before I say that I think the Nets are going to roll.
Jade, can you just mess around the audio and make it so that Zach picked Cleveland?
I don't take requests, Mo.
Thanks. Or just make it that Mo just picked Cleveland. We can do that either way.
I've said many stupid things, so it's okay. It wouldn't be the first one.
All right. So then what about the second half of this play-in tournament as, I guess, Cleveland will wait to face the winner. God, it sounds so messed up. But we'll wait to face the winner of Atlanta-Charlotte. I think Charlotte made a lot of good moves in the right direction this year, but Atlanta's been really good for about 2 months. And while the defense is bad, it's been a little bit better as of late. The offense is ridiculous. Charlotte has a good offense, but they have a horrendous defense. So I feel like Atlanta should not only win this game, but win it pretty handily and then go on to face Cleveland. Then who do we have? Or maybe you disagree and think Charlotte will upset them.
I think Atlanta wins that one. Oh, we're not going to go screaming no disrespect to Charlotte this time, or?
No double all-stars on that team. You know, Gordon Hayward's not an all-star anymore. We're not doing that.
Gordon Hayward, future Laker?
Oh, God, probably. Rush for Gordon? How's that? How does that sound to everybody? Oh, my God. Trey, I'm sorry, I missed what you said. You think Atlanta's going to win this thing?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So then we're looking at Atlanta beating Cleveland and taking the 8 seed?
Yes.
What does that look like for Miami? I actually think that's kind of a tough matchup.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
Yo, 7-8 could be extremely tough.
For once, the East is fucking competent at the back end of it. Like, what a novel concept.
You really wanted to say good, but we're afraid to.
It's competent. It's competent, all right? These teams were not very good in the first half of the season other than Brooklyn. I also want to remind, look, I get it. Brooklyn's been a mess in terms of who's available and everything. Brooklyn has been a play-in tournament team for quite a while this season now. But I just want to remind everybody, with Kevin Durant in the lineup, they were on pace for 53 wins. Who just got the one seed? Miami. How many wins? 53. This is not a regular play-in tournament team.
No, it's not. It's not.
I think
it's
just, like, this dismissal of Brooklyn, as we're just punching them through to the conference finals in this conversation, like, this dismissal of Brooklyn is kind of crazy to me, Trey.
I mean, things happen for a reason. If Bruce Brown doesn't fall into Kevin Durant's knee,
yeah,
you know, he's potentially MVP. He's, you know, they're comfortable in a seed where they're winning ball games. It just kind of messed everything up, but it's also a blessing in disguise because they get to kind of have the little, you know, like they get to see a couple of teams and watch a couple of teams take each other out.
Yeah, they get to, you know, they lay in the weeds a little bit. They kind of get to play the underdog role, surprisingly, right? Yeah. And so there have been some reports about Ben Simmons maybe coming back for the first round. I don't know if I buy any of that. Like, I know that there is a herniated disc issue that is maybe causing some nerve issues, I think by a lot of accounts and reports. And so, like, that stuff can be manageable, but I just don't think you're going to throw him into the playoffs.
So I'm going to say this. He's past that. And ramp-up season is here. And be looking for Ben 10, right?
Really?
Here we go. Here we go. Wow. 1-0 started yesterday. Monday will be his first ramp-up day. And then, you know, he's going to miss the play-in.
Yeah.
And then he got another practice day. And then another practice day. And hopefully he'll be ready by game one or game two.
And we expect game one to be Saturday, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I automatically,
and I don't think they're going to play him like a bunch of minutes, but I mean, just getting him into the groove of things. But he's already, this is the first time he's actually feeling like himself.
In Boston, if they get the 17th game one, it, like, that's going to be brutal.
If only it could have been Philly.
Oh my God.
But I felt like he was going to end up playing as soon as Steve Nash denied. Because every time he's denied something this season.
Yeah, he's right. A bad liar.
Once he denied, like, he's a bad liar.
a bad liar. Like, the thing about him, like, saying about James Johnson. And then James Johnson's out of there.
Yeah, exactly. Because, like, they got to get Kessler Edwards guaranteed. Yeah, like, it's just, come on, man.
It's the equivalent of, like, when a front office guy goes, like, no, we believe in our coach. It's like, yeah, you're like, just start packing your stuff.
You're about to get fired, right?
It's over.
I'm Trey Wingo. And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
And then, look, I'm sure we'll do some kind of preview on Point of Contention this week where I'll get to talk more about this, but let me just say this, okay? I've been peppering group chats with it. I like Toronto in the series against Philly. That may come back to look stupid, and I'm fully prepared for that, but I'm all in on drinking the Raptors Kool-Aid. I'm all in on this franchise. I think that they are, you know, I think that they can, they can't match up physically against Joel Embiid, but I think they can scheme the hell out of this team, especially a Philly team that doesn't have much depth. And now we'll be playing road games without Matisse Thybulle, it looks like.
You're not alone. And yes, according to Shams Charania, Matisse is out for the series. So, the Toronto games.
Yeah.
But when you really factor in the deal, everything, I'm interested to see what schemes Nick Nurse throws at the Sixers because James Harden is not a catch-and-shoot three-point shooter.
Exactly.
Yeah. And they're going to double Joel Embiid. He's very good, so he's going to get his.
Yeah.
But
I'm also fully prepared for Joel to average 50 in this series and sweep him.
Yeah.
No, but
but I'm just saying, on the other end, you have to look at Van Vliet. You got to look at guys like Siakam, who's picking it up.
Yeah, Siakam's been amazing.
they're picking up their confidence and they're starting to play really well, Scotty Barnes. So they get to throw defense at these guys.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be a good series.
I think it's going to be, you know, awesome. Yeah.
I know for sure, and let me say this out loud, I owe the Raptor fans an apology because I said that they would be a play-in team, and I was wrong.
There it is.
But you hear that?
That's a fully guaranteed apology by Trevon.
Absolutely. I was wrong. I mean, I wanted them to trade Pascal, and you know, he had a slow start, and he kind of figured it out. And I still personally feel like they should trade him and develop Scotty, but it's worked out. And one thing about Nick Nurse teams, like, he got Precious, like, doing one-leg pull-ups and crazy things.
This dude did a pull-up really high. Three in transition like it was something to do, and he knocked it down. I was like, what is happening here? I know he can handle the ball, and I know he can shoot a little bit, but, I mean, he looked like Steph. Like, that kind of confidence.
I think they're a scary first-round team to play against.
Oh, they're terrifying to play against, and they're the worst matchup for Philly. One, they got the better coach in Nick Nurse. Joel Embiid's the best player in that series. I imagine Pascal Siakam's behind him. Where do you guys have James Harden? Would he be third?
Which James Harden am I getting?
Well, okay, so that's the thing, right? just overall, looking at everybody else.
No, James Harden should be the second best player in that series. He should be, but I don't think he is.
Right. So let's just slide him into third.
Okay.
How many guys we got to go down before we go to our next?
Maxey's been pretty good, but I'd still take...
I mean,
Van Vliet over him. I'd take Scotty over him just for the role. And then I think it's either him or OG. And you know, OG might be, if there's no Thibel in the road games, you know, OG could be a real problem. Gary Trent Jr. is probably behind Maxey, and it depends on like what we're getting out of Tobias Harris. Cause I don't know what you're supposed to get out of him in this series.
So, I mean, you're looking at it going like, it really feels like Toronto just has the better roster.
Yeah. Oh, they do. And they have the deeper roster, but Joel Embiid is a big man.
He's unbelievable. Really, and that's their weakness. And that's their weakness. That's the thing that scares me. This is going seven games to me. Like, I just think this is going to be a slug it out match. It'll come down to the final game. It's going to be a wild series. I'm super excited.
I don't remember if it was our group chat or a different one, but I may have drunkenly said Raptors in five, and I don't know if I believe it or not, but we're just going to move on to the Western Conference play-in. We've got the Wolves hosting the Clippers on Tuesday. We've got the Pelicans hosting the Spurs on Wednesday. Trey, who do you expect to win out of Wolves Clippers? Paul George is obviously back and looks pretty good.
I mean, I would like to see, I mean, it's impossible for both teams to win. I mean, I would love to see Anthony Edwards in the playoffs.
Well, I mean, like,
they
got the second game. Yeah, they can face the Pelicans or the Spurs. So, you know, they can both get in. Although it would be a very Wolves thing to lose both these games.
But I'm going to say Clippers.
Yeah, I think the Clippers.
I just like the return of Norm Powell, and shout outs to AJ Diggs getting my guy right. And, you know, I see Kawhi in the shadows, but definitely this team could also be one of those like Raptor type teams.
Well, Paul George had a weird comment yesterday or Saturday, I think, maybe it was Friday, where he's like, I don't want this. I don't want this to turn into Paul George versus Patrick Beverley, or you know, he's like, this is about can the Clippers beat the Wolves? I was like, nobody was turning it into that. I don't know, like, what are you talking about?
It sounds like he wanted that.
I guess. I don't know. You know, Pat Bev's going to talk a lot of shit. I do think I like the Clippers in this matchup, but I think the Wolves will beat the Pelicans, who I think will beat the Spurs. Mo, what do you think?
I think that's about right. And I feel bad kind of undervaluing the Spurs. I think they've gone as far as they possibly could, but I think Pelicans will beat them, and then it'll come down to it. Don't sleep, though, too much on the Pelicans. CJ gets hot, it's a problem for them, right? And that becomes the issue there. And you never know with the Wolves, right? It's been consistency from time to time.
Right.
Anthony Edwards could have a monster night, and then, you know, the next day it's like 1-for-13, and you're just like, damn, okay.
I love how like annoyed Spurs fans got the other night when he was just gunning for 50, and it was like, don't get me wrong, it was a clown show, right? an 18 point lead went down to 4, and then they, you know, they eventually pulled it out and he finished with 49. But they're like, a lot of Spurs people, at least online, were like acting like it was an affront to basketball or whatever. I was like, you nerds, he's trying to get 50 and you guys aren't gonna win anyway. What does it matter?
If it was DeJounte Murray, they wouldn't have any problems.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, maybe Pat Bev shouldn't be fouling intentionally to get him another chance at free throws, but whatever, you know, like it's whatever. So if you're the Suns, do you care who ends up in the eighth seed, whether it's the Wolves or the Clippers or the Pelicans?
No.
There's no, like, well, I don't know. I mean, the Clippers are good. Like, that Clippers team is better than just an eight seed team with Paul George involved, but the Suns are spectacular.
It's probably because I've just slotted the Clippers already automatically into seven.
So. Okay, then if you're the Memphis Grizzlies, are you worried about facing any of these teams?
Yes. I think the Clippers are a problem. I think they can give Memphis a real run for their money with the way Paul George is playing right now. Now they got Norman Powell in there. No, I'm not. Don't all right me. This is a legit. No, don't do it. Don't do it, Trey. Trey, don't you do it. Give me a second. I think the Clippers can legitimately give them a big problem. Let's not forget the fact that Ty Lue has kept this team together the entire year. They've gotten big minutes from their big guys, from Zubac and Hartenstein, which nobody would have ever guessed at the beginning of the season. They're getting timely shooting. Paul George is passing the ball at a rate that's unbelievable right now. Don't sleep on them, Trey. That's all I'm saying. Memphis is going to have a hard time against them.
All right, are you picking the Clippers? Hey,
keep me sleep because I got the Grizzlies.
Mo, are you picking the Clippers?
No, I said they give him a hard time. I didn't say they.
Oh,
win
then what
the
hell are we doing? What are you?
I think it's
going to
be a six
for?
Or seven game series.
Well,
I think
just
it's
pick
a seven.
Grizzlies in six or seven, but you're not picking the Clippers. Don't do this. You're doing the equivalent of this guy should be in the MVP conversation. You're going to vote for him? No, but somebody should. Like that's what I
do all year, Zach.
Oh
what
God.
Are you saying?
I do think the Clippers are tough, but I just asked a question to get some shit going. Like I think the Grizzlies are going to be great. I've got the Grizzlies in the conference finals. I don't trust that Steph's going to be healthy and that Klay's going to be healthy enough and that Draymond's going to be healthy enough. Steph not playing for this whole time and he's got a foot issue.
Yeah.
That worries the hell out of me.
No, I think that's fair. I'd be really interested if, obviously we don't know at this point, but if Dallas somehow gets up into the three spot, that would be a very interesting series of Memphis-Dallas. Because then I think it gets really complicated. But against the Warriors, I think I would pick Memphis to beat them.
I mean, we're assuming the Spurs don't beat Dallas tonight, and we're assuming the Warriors do beat New Orleans. I guess that is still up very much up in the air as we record this, but I mean, whatever. Okay, then if it's Dallas-Memphis, I'd still take Memphis, but that is a weird matchup in terms of just what Dallas does well and what Memphis does well.
I mean, the big thing for Memphis is they get a lot of points out of transition. And if the game slows down, then they start to struggle a little bit in the half court. I think that's something that is concerning for them. So if teams can keep them out of transition, which is super tough with how good Ja is getting up the court, it's going to be an issue for them in how they deal within the half court. And that's something you got to keep an eye on when we're watching those playoff series.
Yeah, I think I wonder if Dallas can get away with that three guard lineup, right? Of Luka, Jalen Brunson, and Spencer Dinwiddie against a defensive team like Memphis, who is trying to force turnovers, who is trying to get out in transition, who is running immediately off of long rebounds and everything. And you know there are gonna be a lot of jumpers from Dallas. And so do you think it's the offense from the first half of the season for Dallas or the second half of the season? Because one of those had them as a very mediocre shooting team in the second half of the season. They're pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we're trying to figure out now.
Yeah. Trey, if it's Dallas versus Memphis, you giving Dallas a chance here?
Man, Dallas might mess around and get to the finals on a sneak. Hey, I know I sound crazy, but like, man, they so unpredictable in how they playing and just how the West is. They can crack somebody.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think this Memphis year. I ain't gonna lie.
I think Memphis.
I don't think they're gonna win it all, but if Ja can stay healthy throughout the playoffs, I think they do something for sure.
Are we worried about Ja being injury prone? Because he's had a couple of big injuries the last 2 years, especially the way he plays.
I do, because he plays so reckless.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think you can look at him in the way he plays, just as Trey just said. So reckless and flying around. It's fun as hell, but it's also like scary every time he falls.
In a matchup, if it is Memphis versus Dallas at some point, Do you think Memphis can be too physical for Dallas, or has Dallas kind of fixed those issues?
Nah, I think they line up together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, Dinwiddie big, Luka plays physical.
Yeah, Luka's super physical.
Like, I think they kind of match up pretty well together.
Ooh, how long till Dylan Brooks fouls out?
Their teams are super weird.
Dylan Brooks oh my God.
Guarding Doncic.
You can't put him on Luka. Luka's going to foul his ass out by halftime. Like, it's going he's going to be way too aggressive and talking shit as he gets a sixth foul. Like, he's not going to care. If it's Memphis versus Golden State, Trey, do you have any concerns about the Warriors here?
If Steph not back, yeah, it's over.
Yeah. Does Steph have to be great in order for them to win that series?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yes.
And unless Clay is just magically back.
I think it's going to be, the media is going to be salivating them at their mouths too, because you got a chance for new blood, or this not your year yet. Wait your turn, young fella.
Right. Now I know that they've eaten lunch together and maybe have gone to practice together, but are we writing Utah off too easily here?
Yeah, Utah can go.
Okay.
Sorry, Jazz fans. I gave y'all so much love this year.
I tried.
They packed them bags.
Yeah.
They blew another, 16-point lead or something?
It was so obvious that it was coming. Because you know what happened in that game is Hassan Whiteside gave a little extra push, either by force or by accident, to JaVale McGee. And then after that, the Suns are like, all right. Fuck this. Like, we don't need this game, but we're going to take this game. And they just dissected them the rest of the way, and there was nothing the Jazz could do. And it's just like, I think I described it this way. Like, when things start unraveling for the Jazz and you start pulling on that thread, they say, no, we got it. And they pull the thread and completely unravel themselves. Like, they don't even let you do it anymore. They just do it themselves. It's insane how volatile that situation is.
It's just funny, man. Like, it's sad how it's all sort of falling apart for them. You know, from where we were at the start of the season to now just looking at it, is there a team going into the playoffs with worse just
Chicago
vibes and feelings?
No. Chicago has good vibes. Chicago has good vibes.
They just know they're going to lose.
They just can't beat good teams. Yeah,
this team is going in here going through
Utah.
It.
Utah, for sure.
Just going in there with this whole thing of like a dark cloud over them the whole way through.
What's it going to take?
I think the fans are going to be blindly rooting. Like, you know what I mean? Like, obviously,
get this team out of here.
Well, no, they're just going to be on some like, I think we can do it. But every win is going to be a shock. Like, oh, we survived to live another day. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that they're like, oh, yeah, we're going to come in and we're going to beat this team. It's like, give us a break of who we're seeing. Like, and I'm looking at the standings right now. And
it's probably ending with them facing Dallas. Right. Or Dallas. Yeah, it's going to be Dallas or Golden State. And I don't think they win either of those series.
Yeah, that's not a good matchup for them, man. It's just all bad.
For Denver's part of it, what's going to have to happen for them to beat either Dallas or Golden State? Obviously, it's annoying to the listener, but that we don't know the matchups as of the time of recording, but you can just fill it in. Yeah.
They need Jamal Murray.
Mr. Miyagi to bring him back to the court thing, because I don't feel like that's going to happen.
I kind of want to pick them against Golden State.
Whoa!
I just have a lot of questions about Golden State in terms of their role players and their cast and things like that. And just the way Jokic goes to work, I kind of want to pick them against Golden State.
But what would that take? Like, that means who steps up? Like, I guess Will Barton goes crazy.
Will Barton goes crazy. I mean, all of them, Zach, to be honest.
They
like,
all
it's
have
not,
to, right?
Yeah, it's not like, it's not just one guy. Like, Barton has to go nuts. Gordon has to take his defense to another level and score and hit shots, which, again, pretty wild. But
if Aaron Gordon hits one corner three, I'll believe. Okay, just well, it's just got to be one.
I feel pretty good now.
I don't know.
I think he could do one.
I don't know.
If you said two, I would have been really nervous. But one, I think we got a shot. But they got to hit shots. They got to make it work so that when Jokic kicks it out of a double team and things like that, they got to make the Warriors pay for doubling them. Now, it'll be interesting if the Warriors just say, screw it, we're not going to double and Jokic is going to go nuts. We'll see how it plays out, but it's going to take the other guys stepping up. But it wouldn't shock me. And it's part of it is the supporting cast for the Warriors have been so up and down. Like Wiggins is still really not done that much since the All-Star break, you know, and he's really dropped off. Clay has been rolling, but also very inconsistent, up and down with coming back from the injuries and things like that. So I just have questions about them, and I'm just curious if the other guys are really that. Jordan Poole, first playoffs. Like, these guys, are they really going to step up in a way? I'll be really interested to see that series because I'm kind of thinking Nuggets.
Are you struggling to close deals? B2B selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals, and show you hidden allies so that you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date, first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/NBAshow23. That's linkedin.com/NBAshow23 for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/NBAshow23 and get started.
All right, we got through as many of the playoff scenarios as we can. Obviously, check out the Daily Ding every day after these play-in tournament games to get a full picture of the landscape moving forward, and then obviously keep checking out the Athletic NBA Show podcast as we try to break it down the best we can in real time. But again, we're recording the day before, and so it's a little, you know, it's not quite as on point, but we'll have the big schemes for you. Before we go, let's go away from the playoffs. And no, not for Lakers talk. I found this story fascinating. So I was talking about this on NBA radio earlier on Sunday with Amin Al-Hassan. There's a report from James Hamm, who is as plugged in with the Kings as anybody. And Dante DiVincenzo and his camp are very unhappy with how the Kings have handled his minutes and his lack of starts. Relationship may have been broken between the Kings and DiVincenzo. And there is this prevailing idea that they believe that they're specifically not starting him down the stretch of the season to limit his value in free agency. He will be a restricted free agent. But here's the crazy thing about that is I looked up the numbers, and this is all before the last game of the season. So the first 12 games he was with the Kings, he averaged like 23 minutes a game. In the next 12 games with the Kings, he only had one start. So the starting part I get, but he's averaging like almost 30 minutes a game. So I don't know, like, other than like just referring to him as a starter now, which if they want to do that, you can't do. But his minutes, now I don't know about the role, but his minutes at least, Mo, have increased as the season's gone on.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much of a case that is. Like, you know, it's first off, it's Sacramento Kings, so you can't really rule it out of the possibility. But
yeah, I guess that's true.
He's getting minutes. It's not like he went down to like, okay, I'm just playing 5 minutes a game or something, or only getting garbage time. He was playing. So I'm not sure what else. I'm not 100% sure what else. Did he want to play 48 minutes?
I don't know. I think he just wanted to start. Like, it feels a little bit like the Buddy Hield thing a couple years ago where he's like, I'm a starter. And they were like, no, you're coming off the bench. It's like, you're still playing minutes. But I get it. Like, if you're on the Kings, you probably want to be considered a starter.
You don't want to be on the Kings. Well, no, yeah, you don't want to be on the Kings.
He really should be mad at Milwaukee.
Yes.
He should be mad at the Kings. Like, he should be mad at Milwaukee here for trading him from a champion to the Kings, who have now gone 16 straight years without making the playoffs. So I think, like, I think you and your camper would. Oh man, I was going to ask a very volatile question to end this podcast, but I think, I'll ask it anyway. Do we think Phil Jackson would refer to Dante DiVincenzo's camp as a posse or not?
Absolutely
probably not.
You
right?
Know the answer. Right. You
know that's
going to
do it for this edition of the Athletic NBA Show podcast. Make sure you're checking out all the podcasts on the Athletic and the Athletic Podcast Network. You've got What Did I Miss with Michelle Beadle. You've got No Dunks. You've got all the team-specific shows. You're going to want to listen to all those as the playoffs ramp up, as we get the best coverage for you on the internet. For Trevon Edwards, for Mo Dakiel, I'm Zach Harper. Keep it locked in on The Athletic and subscribe already.